It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Season 3, Episode 9 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We've got lots of football to talk about, lots of big games played over the weekend, and lots of games coming up also. But first, we're going to talk about the number 53.
Nice.
Again, it's a linebacker polluted number. Chuck Bignarik, the guy who was famous, he kind of represents leather helmet football as far as hands were. I mean, his hands were messed up.
No teeth.
No, that's right. He was Jack Lambert before there was Jack Lambert. Bob Bruning, great Cowboy linebacker. Harry Carson, great Giant linebacker. Randy Gratishar and Bill Romanowski, great Bronco linebackers. And there's a few more in here as well that aren't linebackers. Mark Eaton of the NBA. Artis Gilmore of the NBA. Mick Tinglehoff, who was an offensive lineman for the Vikings and a really good one. Marcus Pouncey, four-time All-Pro, player of the decade from the decade of 2010 to 2020, was a center for the Steelers. And then, Jeff, you want to introduce the last one?
Well, I mentioned Darryl Dawkins, who used to play for the 76ers back in the Julius Dr. J. Irvin days. Greg mentioned his famous nickname,
Chocolate Thunder.
And I was just Googling. You know who gave him that nickname?
Himself.
Stevie Wonder.
Well, there you go.
You learn all kinds of things on this podcast.
Yeah, well, from you we do.
Well, I mean, yeah. I make a lot of stuff up. Yeah. But I did get that one off the interwebs.
Was he white?
No. But Stevie didn't know that.
That's what I was saying.
Holy cow.
Sorry, Jeff.
That was Harry Carey. Oh, but
we're 15 seconds in and it's already off the rails.
It's off the rails.
Oh, man. Well, like I said, we got a lot of football to get to, so let's just get to that. We're going to start with the DeQueen Leopards, Tony, and maybe the biggest DeQueen Leopard victory in recent memory.
Well, I guess they're still going back through the record book. It's about offensive yards, 621 offensive yards, 579 of that on the ground in a 56-25 win over Hope. The really odd thing about that, the Leopards didn't score in the first quarter. They were inside Hope's 10-yard line twice and didn't score. This could have easily been 70 to 25, but the numbers real quick. Wise goes 15 carries, 212 yards and a touchdown. He also caught a 27-yard touchdown. Luis Sotelo, 14 carries, 161 yards and a touchdown. Rylan Pickett only got in the end zone four times. And Jake Martin, 13 carries, 138 yards and a touchdown. And he threw a 42-yard touchdown pass. So it was – the Leopards were rolling. And my favorite Hope Bobcat, Joel Bello, he was the only one that seemed like he wanted to hit anybody.
Well, somebody wanted to hit somebody over there on the sidelines.
Yeah, there was a couple of those. Yeah, but a great win for the Leopards, a conference win. So I think everybody was pleased.
Yep. I mean, one of the things you got to talk about when you got that many yards, you got to have some great line play too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's actually, we gave the offensive lineman the McDonald's coupon, the Leopard player.
So they got to share one extra value meal?
No, I think we give them five. I think we give them. And those guys did a phenomenal job. So, it's going to get tougher from here. I think everybody that knows Leopard football knows that. But it was a really good win for the Leopards.
It was a great win. So guess what they get to do next?
Yeah, your prize is you get to play the three-time defending state champion.
That's right. But, you know, Parkview I know it's hard to say this, but it looks like they're down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, but down a little bit for them is probably, you know, I mean, their losses are to Bryant, Benton, and Hot Springs. The Hot Springs game surprised me. I'm going to be honest with you that I didn't think that the Trojans would beat them, but I imagine Parkview still has plenty of athletes and can still give us fits.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about the Hot Springs game, it was at War Memorial.
Yeah.
It was not at Hot Springs.
Yeah. Which makes you wonder about the Trojans and how good they are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it really does. You know, but just saddle up and let's go Friday night, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Come on out Friday night. I think this Leopard team has been the best one that we've had in a while, especially offensively. And Parkview's going to have some kids that's going to be playing on Saturday playing, so come on out and watch some good football.
Yeah, and a couple of things to mention in addition to that is the basketball teams, boys and girls, are going to be selling chicken dinners starting at 5 o'clock that day until they're sold out. So come early, get you a dinner. And the other thing you want to come early for is the first 100 Leopard fans in attendance get in free courtesy of the Queen Rotary Club. So
that's something that the Rotary's done every year, and it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, well,
probably gives some people who might not get a chance to go to a Leopard game the opportunity to do that.
Yep, and so a couple of things to remember, and also don't want to forget this. Many cheerleaders are there too.
That's exactly right.
So there'll be a lot of people there, and so if you want chicken, you better get there early.
And if you want a seat, you might want to get there a little early too.
That's right.
Because those many cheerleader nights, grandparents, parents, you know, godparents, they're all there.
Yep. They are. So make sure you get there early. And but looking forward to that game, and going to be – but like you said, the rest of the road is going to be – every game is going to be tough for the Leopards. They, you know, this conference is really good, and they just do – they're going to go do it and saddle up and get after it.
Yeah. I don't think that our kids will be intimidated. I expect us to play well. And that's all you can ask. If you get outstanding effort, and then that's all you can ask.
That's right. Let's see what Coach Richard Bell has to say.
Coach Bell, 620 yards in total offense, 56 points at Hope Friday night. Now, we can talk about the stats that Wise, Sotelo, Martin, Pickett, those guys put up, but let's salute that offensive line. They were terrific.
Yeah, I was really happy at how they've been performing so far this year. I've told Coach Lyda and Coach Binkley that, you know, we all three think it's one of the best offensive lines we've had in a long time. You could tell that, you know, Hope was getting really frustrated because they're getting pancaked and they didn't know what to do about it. So the offensive line played a great game. And any time that, you know, your front five are a bunch of road graders, you're going to get some yardage. And our backs had a really good game Friday night, and that was because of that O-line.
Particularly impressed with the kicking game. It was solid. John Maturino had some nice kickoff returns to set up a short field for the offense. And Jacris Munoz, you know, 8 of 8 PATs. He's 21 of 21 for the season. Those extra points are absolutely critical.
Yeah, it's a big part of the game, Jacris being able to kick the ball. It's other teams have to go for two if they miss, and we're being consistent and not having to. And we had a couple of decisions on the sideline to make it a 3-score game. You know, to go ahead and kick the extra point and make it a four-possession game to kick the extra point. Jaker's doing a great job. I told John Maturino at halftime, I said, you finally figured out that you're 6'2", 195, and you run the ball harder. And so hopefully he continues to do that throughout the rest of the year.
Well, great to be back home after a month away. It's Rotary night. First 100 fans get in free tomorrow night. Let's talk about the Parkview Patriots. Now, they've lost 3 in a row, including their conference opener to Hot Springs. They do have a little chink in their armor this year, but I'm sure they still have lots of talent.
Yeah, the first two losses they had were to Benton and Bryant, which are, you know, big-time powerhouses in the state of Arkansas. You know, so they played up, this year and had some really tough games there. And then they played a really talented Hot Springs team. They were driving the score to win the ball game and threw a pick on the goal line to end up losing by 1 point. So, yeah, they've lost some games. And again, I don't think they're going to be as dominant in the conference as they have been, but I still believe they're top 10 in the state and going to compete for that state championship. As far as we're concerned, what we're going to do is what we did Friday night. We're going to try to hit them in the mouth and stop the run. And hopefully we can fix a couple of holes that we had on the secondary that we had against Hope and fix those Friday night and hopefully get a victory out of it.
All right. Well, good luck against the Patriots Friday night at Leopard Stadium.
I appreciate it. Go Leopards.
All right. Let's take a second to talk about DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, one of our oldest sponsors here on the Southwest Arkansas Sports page on the air and still going strong. We appreciate them so much. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West right here in DeQueen. Give them a call at 870-642-8387.
That's Vets.
That is Vets. And that's how you can schedule your appointment today for absolutely anything that you need veterinary-wise. Also, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. Give them a call at 870-898-5181, which is nothing.
I can't make anything out of that. I've tried.
That's right.
At least not related to pets.
Yeah. But if you're in or around Ashdown, it's a little bit of a quicker trip for you. Same great service. That's right. And Dr. Martin, we can't say enough good things about him. I've had to use him personally for a bunch of different things. And
we all have.
Yeah. Feel great about having him in the area. And I don't think we could be blessed with a better veterinary service.
Well, we talk a lot about different people and what they're selling and what they're doing, and they do a great job with veterinary services.
They do.
And everything, but they're also great community partners.
True.
I mean, they are involved in so many different things. I'm not even going to try to list it because I'd leave something out, but both Dr. Martin and Jennifer just great community partners for DeQueen.
Absolutely.
And Ashdown.
Yeah, big supporters of the Leopards and the Panthers. Ashdown Veterinary Clinic and DeQueen Animal Hospital, amazing reviews across the board, 5 stars. You can go on Google and read about everything, you'll see plenty of reasons why you should be taking your little critters there, big or small.
Yeah, and you don't have to because we'll tell you.
We've
all been there, like
that's
you
right.
said.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're the best.
That's right. They are the best. DeQueen Animal Hospital / Ashdown Veterinary Clinic on Facebook. Go and give them a like if you can't use their services today. We appreciate them so much, and a big thank you to them.
Now it's time to talk about the Horatio Lions. The Horatio Lions lost to Centerpoint 42-20 last Friday. In talking to Coach Willis, just feels like he just can't get everything going that one way. But still, a lot of kids playing really hard, he mentioned a few kids, Marvin Martinez. Obviously, I think we talk about him every week. Undersized but big heart. Leads the defensive charts from his linebacker position. Also, the leading rusher for the Lions last week. And then another, just one of the linemen, Salvador Alleman. He mentioned him as doing a really great job. But it's not going to get any easier for the Lions this week.
No, it's not. You get the Prescott Curly Wolves, who some say are down a little bit. They're 3-1 on the year. They've got wins over CrossFit, Hope, and Falk. But they're never down very much.
No. They won't be down and be. And they're going to Prescott. Going to be a tough game for the Horatio Lions. But one of the things that I've seen from Horatio ever since we started doing this is there's never a lack of effort.
Nope.
Coach Willis has them playing hard, and they do the best they can do. And again, like you said with the Queen, that's all you can ask for.
That's all you can ask.
Get the effort there. Let's see what Coach Willis says.
Got Coach Paul David Willis of the Horatio Lions with me today. And, Coach, tough loss Friday night.
Well, it was. It really was. And, I'm I guess I'm kind of getting used to it because it's kind of been the story here lately. And I kind of want to start off on a positive note. I'm gonna play the other side of this. I want to congratulate Coach Bell and guys at the Queen, because they, you know, they did basically the same thing that, you know, we're trying to do. You know, they've kind of been in the same boat that we've been in for the past few years, and getting that first conference victory is big. And you know, my hat's off to him. He's kind of done what you're supposed to do. You know, kind of stayed in there and kind of changed the culture. And you know, the kids run and lift and work, and you know, they're starting to reap the rewards of that. And that's kind of the opposite of kind of where we're at. We hadn't got to that stage yet. And you know, I hate to say it this way, but I mean, losing is a habit just like winning is, and that's this kind of habit that we've gotten into.
Well, but you've got some young players down there, Coach, and they're growing and getting better and doing better. And again, you're right, it is a habit, and they're going to have to get out of that habit. But I think you've got some opportunity for some more growth there with them. And
well, yeah, I do. I mean, anytime that you start, we started two freshmen. And then a sophomore quarterback, and then another freshman on defense. So, I mean, we're young, and we've got some injuries, and we've had to move some ninth graders up to play some key positions. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I knew it going in, and, you know, it's the life of a coach.
Yeah, that it's never fun, is it? Yeah.
Well, not until you get a buyout like Sam got, then it might be pretty fun.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But man, he had to go through that 56-13 whooping first, though. So,
well, that'll go away.
You're right.
He's got a lot of greenbacks to make that go away.
Yeah, you're right. 10 million may make that. He may remember that differently.
That's right.
But well, anyway, who do you got that stood out for you this week?
Well, I mean, you know, we had, you know, a couple of kids. I thought, you know, Salvador Alderman, he's a kid that we kind of pressed in for duty at guard. And, you know, he's kind of a smaller kid. Man, the kid plays hard. You know, he does. And, of course, you got Marvin. I mean, Marvin Martinez, he's one of those kids every week. I mean, he makes plays. And he ain't big as a popcorn fart, but, man, he gets after it and plays with a lot of heart. And I just wish everybody we had played with that kind of heart, because this job would be fun and easy. He played well. Led us in rushing again. Hold on, let me flip over here, and I'll tell you exactly how many yards he had. He had 123 yards on 19 carries and had a touchdown. Our quarterback, our little sophomore quarterback, had a couple of touchdowns. And, you know, we threw the ball more than what we've been throwing it, because we just kind of made up our mind that we was going to have to throw it. And we, you know, we didn't throw for a high percentage, but we threw like 14 passes. And that's probably more passes than he's thrown in his whole life. So, you know, we had some kids that played well.
Yeah,
and we just got to get more of them.
Yeah, well, and you just got to keep working at it to do that.
Well, you got to keep plugging. There's no doubt about that. There ain't no easy way out.
And speaking of plugging, this week, I believe you go to Prescott, right?
We go to Prescott. That's you know, it don't get any easier. We're getting into, really honestly, we're getting into the meat part of our. It's all Prescott. You know, we've got to play Bismarck down the road, and they just got through playing in the state championship game, and they look to be about as good as they were last year. You know, we go to Smackover, they got athletes running at the wazoo, and you know, they seem to be rolling. We go to Harmony Grove, they're going to have a whole lot more athletes than we got, and that's not going to be a fun thing to wait. Play Fout, who has been up to 4A next year, so that's, you know, they've kind of got us outnumbered. So we don't have a whole lot of easy tasks left.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody told me one time that you learn a lot more from the bad things in your life than you do from the good things. So I don't know if that really helps any in any situation, but especially in sports, as you go through some difficult times. But you know, I think that again, I just see growth there from your kids, and I think they're doing better. And if they can just hang in there, I think they're going to be better for it in the long run.
Well, you know, really and truly, that's kind of why I got back into this and kind of teach kids some life lessons. And you're right. I mean, if a kid gets in sports and thinks everything's going to be roses, they're kind of setting themselves up for the okie doke in life, because I don't know too many people personally that had a very easy life. There's something bad's going to happen. You better learn to overcome it.
Yep, that's right. Well, Coach, I appreciate you talking to me today, and look forward to talking to you next week. And we're going to be pulling for those Lions for a win over those Curly Wolves.
Well, I've told the kids that one of these days we're going to beat somebody that we're not supposed to beat. And anybody we beat from here on out is going to fit that bill. So we're waiting on that to happen.
Well, hey, it might as well start this week, man.
You're right. I appreciate you.
Hey, have a good week.
You too.
It's time now to talk about the Foreman Gators. They're 2-2, and they host the Murfreesboro Rattlers, who are also 2-2. This last week, Foreman Junction City came to Foreman and beat the Gators 43-6. Nothing to feel ashamed about there, because Junction City beats everybody like that.
Yeah, they do.
There are a lot of teams they do, and they're one of the top teams in 2A, and probably not an unexpected loss there.
No, and I expect this game to be a really good game. I think these two teams are pretty evenly matched. The Rattlers, they own wins over Center Point and Genoa. Foreman, I think, much improved this year. So I think this could be a really, really good football game.
And I think it will be. As a matter of fact, it's going to be our game of the week.
It is going to be our game of the week.
We'll talk about that more in a minute.
Yeah.
But one other thing I want to mention real quickly is the Gator Junior High team went to Junction City Thursday night and came away with a victory.
Man, that has to give you some confidence going forward as far as, looking into the future.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, just driving down there, riding the bus that long and winning is a big deal.
Yeah.
So, I think that's good. But I got a chance to talk to Coach Ed Baker, and let's see what he says.
I'm on the line with Coach Ed Baker, the Foreman Gators coach. Junction City proved to be the real deal.
Yes, sir. They're like we had mentioned, they're well coached, got some really good athletes. Thought it was a good game starting off. It was actually they scored, held us first drive. We punted, they went and scored, and we had a nice drive and scored. It was 8-6 with about 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Or I'm sorry, 14-6 with about 4 minutes left in the second quarter, and then they kind of started wearing us down. They scored a couple touchdowns late in the quarter, and so it was 36 at the half. And thought our kids played hard. We came out and had a nice drive to start the second half. Took about 6 minutes off the clock, but had a couple of penalties that stalled the drive. And so it was a closer than you say 43-6. It sounds really bad.
Yeah. Well,
first half or my first half.
Well, so who had some outstanding performances for you down there?
Well, I thought defensively we played pretty well for most of the half.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, offensively we moved the ball well. On the offensive side, Brody Bearden had some nice runs. Our fullback, if he kept his feet, he'd had a little bit more yards. Kind of got his shoulders out in front of himself and stumbled a little bit. But anytime you're doing well in the backfield, your offensive line is playing pretty well. And I thought they did a good job. Landon Shirtliff at tight end is a guy we hadn't really mentioned all year. He makes us better up front with that extra blocker. And then defensively, Lawson Mears really stood out. He's a little guy. He's kind of like Cannon McElhan we talked about last week.
Uh-huh.
He's a tall guy, but, man, he plays with a lot of heart. I think he was at three or four tackles, but he broke up a couple of passes, forced a fumble. Just had a really good night defensively.
Okay, that sounds great. Do you I was going to ask you about one guy from Junction City because I read something about him, Jermaine Singleton. They just said he was like a monster, just a huge kid. Do you know anything about him?
He's a big guy. He's played, watching film before they played us. He played like three positions on the offensive line, depending on what they were doing, center, guard, and tackle. He played a couple of different spots for him the other night here. Defensively, he's hard to move. He's probably 6'4", 6'5", 360-ish, so just huge. But they had some other really big linemen as well. They had one guy that's like 6'7", 270, another guy in that 6'4 range. So they're really big up front. Kind of had us out, man. Like I said, that started to wear on us late in the first half and then on into the second half and fourth quarter especially.
Well, we knew they were going to be a really good team. That, you know, they're one of the top teams in the state almost every year, seems like. And sounds like y'all showed up and played well. So that's something to work on and to move forward on. This week you've got Murfreesboro, I believe, and
yes,
they're coming to Foreman.
Yes, sir. It'll be homecoming for us. If anybody wants to come out, the ceremony starts at 6:30. Then the game will kick off at 7 like normal. They're gonna present a challenge as far as throwing the ball. They're about 50-50, but they look like on film they throw it really well. And so it'll definitely be a challenge for us. We haven't seen, you know, that much passing yet. We've seen a little bit, but it'll be something different than what we've seen so far this year.
Okay, well, anybody in particular you need to look for out on their team or?
You got to prepare for all of them. They've got some good skill kids. They'll be disciplined up front and play well. They're well coached. Coach Turley does a good job. He's been there before, so back again. So it'll be a challenge for us, both sides of the ball.
And homecoming. Coaches always love homecoming, don't they?
Oh, yeah. It's a little bit of a distraction, but it's fun for the community and kids and if they get into it. And so that's one of those things that's part of high school football pageantry.
That's right. That's right. Well talk just for a second before I let you go. How about junior high? How'd they do this last week?
They won, man. It was a tough game. We went on the road, 2-hour-plus road trip to Junction City. Kids battled real well. They came out and did something they hadn't done in junior high all year and had a nice drive to start and got up on us, but then our kids responded really well and came out on top. I think it was 26-18. It was kind of back and forth in the fourth quarter. We'd score in a play, and they would drive and score. And so same thing, we'd answer, then they drove and scored. It was a exciting game, but fun, and real proud of our kids for the way they competed.
Well, that's great. Anything else you want to talk about before I let you go, Coach?
We got volleyball rolling and we got those games going on. Cross country's been starting. So we got a lot going on over here in Gator country.
Yeah. It's a busy time of the year. And I appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your busy day to talk to me and look for a homecoming victory over those Rattlers this week. And we'll talk to you about that next week.
You bet. Let me give a shout out to Jaden Tanner. He's a freshman on our golf team, and I think he won our district. He was like the medalist. So that's awesome. Awesome for him and awesome for our golf program. And our boys, they finished third in the district and lost in a shootout to go to state or extra holes.
Well, that's really great. That's great, too. So anything else?
That's it. Three of those guys are football players on that golf squad. Eli Long, Hayden Easter, and Tristan Banya. So shout out to those guys too.
Okay. I appreciate you giving me that information too. We'll talk to you next week and be looking for a victory over the Rattlers.
All right. Appreciate you having us. Go Gators.
Go Gators.
UA Cossatot is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. Visit cccua.edu today to find out everything you need about UA Cossatot, including how to apply and enroll, all of their programs of study, financial information like how to pay for college, and all of the scholarship opportunities for our community. You can even learn about their technical programs like automotive and diesel service technology and so much more. UA Casa Tide has such a wide array of programs available to you, there's no reason to wait. This doesn't just apply to high school graduates either. If you're still in high school, visit cccua.edu and learn about UA Casa Tide's high school programs. Sophomores, juniors, and seniors are able to take up to 15 credit hours for free per semester through the Access to Acceleration Scholarship Program. No extra paperwork is required by the student for this scholarship, as the High School Programs Department ensures their information is submitted to state institutions for reimbursement. Medical professions, industrial technology, welding technology, and so much more. Ready to start when you are. Visit cccua.edu today and see what UA Casa Tide can offer you. UA Casa Tide. If you start here, you can go anywhere.
The Ashdown Panthers went to Haskell Harmony Grove.
That's correct.
Or we call it Benton Harmony Grove.
That's right.
But they call it Haskell. Now, I guess they've got big enough they want to call it their own town. I don't know. I don't know what that is.
It is just south of Benton.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, they went up there and took one on the chin, Tony.
Yeah, 62-19. I know they went up there expecting it to be a really good ball game, and it got away from them a little bit. Jim Cross shared with me that multiple players go down on injury. You know, the Panthers' numbers are not high as they are, and it's kind of like I was talking to Coach Bentley earlier today. You know, it's like there's a dike leaking in five places, and you got four corks. You know, so you move your corks around, so you try to get as many holes covered as you can, and where those holes are. And I think that's what the Panthers are running into right now.
They needed the little Dutch boy.
They needed. Okay.
Yeah. Stick your fingers in those.
Greg, schooled on those nursery rhymes.
Yes. Those old guy jokes.
Off the air, he just recites stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, every high school kid that listens to this right now is saying,
who?
What? Yeah.
So, you know, talk about that, but, you know, then they go ahead.
Well, Bryson French had a big game again, mm-hmm. and there are colleges looking at him. Six catches, 80 yards, had a kickoff return for a touchdown. I believe it was an 80-yard kick return. I mean, this kid's the real deal.
Yeah.
He is the real deal.
And this week,
They host the Genoa Central Dragons. They are 0-4 as well. So somebody's going to get their first win in Ashdown Friday night.
Yeah, sounds like it could be a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what Jim Cross has to say when Tony talked to him.
I'm with Jim Cross, play-by-play man of the Ashdown Panthers. Jim, how you doing today?
Doing good, Tony. Friday night was kind of tough. we went to Harmony Grove, and I think we got about the best punch Harmony Grove could give. Boy, they were running that wing tee.
Right.
They were running the 5 and 6 yards every time they touched it, and we just could never slow them down. And they only threw one pass, and he just ran it between the tackles, and we tried different adjustments, and we just couldn't stop them. They running back number 8 was really good. But really, it was just their offensive line was just dominated the game. And I think they're going to beat a few teams in the conference, because that's a hard thing to prepare for in 4 days. You go from the spread to the wing tee.
Well, there's not very many people that run it, for one. And two, with a scout team who's maybe never seen it, some of them never heard of it, it's hard for a scout team to replicate that as well. So
it certainly is.
The injuries play a factor as far as trying to fill those holes?
Yeah, Taylor Mitchell, one of our linebackers, he had a concussion the week before, so he wasn't even on the trip, and he's probably one of our better tacklers, and so that was a big loss. And for depth wise, and Dominique Ware, one of our other linebackers, he got banged up and played most of the fourth quarter with just one shoulder. His shoulder was banged up, and he has an MRI, I believe, today or tomorrow, and to see if there's any damage. And he said he was feeling a lot better today, so hopefully it's just a bruise.
But prayers that turns out okay for the young man.
Yes, he's had a good season, and you can see him, you know, maturing game by game. And so, yeah, that'd be a huge loss. But talking to him, it sounds like everything's going to be all right.
Well, and up on deck for the Panthers this week, the Genoa Central Dragons. I think the Dragons are 1-3 on the year. Do you know anything about them, or got to watch any film yet?
Well, we've a little bit. They were eight-man football 2 years ago,
right?
And in talking to Coach McCaslin, you can see the difference just in 1 year. How much more skilled they are. Got a lot more speed.
Well,
and, so you know, it's gonna be a tough game.
You know, I don't think they went to eight man football. If I'm recollecting right, because of their numbers, I think they went to eight man football to avoid playing in the SEC 4A7.
Yeah, I think a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, for a couple of seasons, but so they've rebounded from that eight man football pretty good.
Yeah, and especially up front, and you know that's where it all happens, and they've gotten a lot stronger. And just playing that one extra year, I think, is, you know, they've already won a ball game this year.
Right.
And so, and they've been in most of the games. They were with Malvern for about two thirds of the first half. And, you know, they were only down 14-0 at halftime, and it was 7-0 for the first quarter and a half. So they stayed with Malvern for quite a while. So that tells you that they're much improved.
Yeah. Yeah. And where is that game? Refresh my memory.
It'll be at Ashdown.
Okay. Okay. Well, y'all kind of front loaded your schedule with some home games. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've got Malvern next week, and then we'll go on the road against Arkadelphia and Nashville.
Boy, they must have had a barn burner Friday night. So, you know, they definitely look like right now the best two teams in the conference.
Yeah. And Tony, I'm shocked by that. Nothing against Nashville, but I figured I'd kind of said all year long that everybody was playing for second place.
Right.
And Nashville proved me wrong. And I'm not sure because Arkadelphia, they'd beaten two 5A schools and a 6A school in their non-conference schedule. And so, but anything can happen anytime. So that's why they play the game.
Well, you know, that hiccup in Magnolia is kind of unexplainable, but. You know, they beat Darnell every place, but on the scoreboard, they like doubled their yardage and things like that. So, I thought Nashville would play well up there. I'm not going to tell you I thought they'd win, but I thought it'd be a really good ball game. And you know, you get a break. They didn't get a break or two at Darnell and lost. They got a break or two at Ashdown and they won. Or Arkadelphia and they won. And that's kind of the way it is. So.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, who stood out for the Panthers in the game Friday night?
Well, Bryson French had his usual good game. He had six catches for about 80 yards and a touchdown.
Somebody on reporting on the internet on him. Yeah, there's a lot of people like him.
Yeah, then he ran an 85-yard kickoff return, and then he moved into running back, and he had four or five carries for about 30 yards. So he plays defense as well, but he, as far as being a wide receiver, you can see he's got college written all over him. And he's so explosive, and when he catches it, I mean, it's like he's already in third gear when he catches it. I mean,
right.
He can really move once he, and that's why they're playing the running back too, just trying to give him the ball.
Right. Right.
So he had a good game, and then I thought Ethan Warner and Mario Lewis defensively made some plays. To kind of slow down the running game. So they played well. And then Joe Dell Angel, another receiver, senior, he caught a couple of passes across the middle and, boy, took some big-time licks and just jumped right up. And so he's a senior and, you know, playing his last year. Talking to him today, he was feeling pretty good about his game. And I just think that we'll hear more about Joe Dell Angel as the season goes on.
Jim, refresh my memory. I know in past years, the 4A7 have got five teams in the playoffs. Is that the case this year?
That's the case this year, as far as I know.
Okay.
That's what I believe. So, okay.
Well, man, go out and win Friday night.
Yeah, you got to win Friday night. And if you win Friday night, that puts you back in the opportunities. But if you lose Friday night, it's going to be tough because then you're going to have to beat Arkadelphia or Nashville or Malvern or you might have to probably beat two of those.
Right.
And so Genoa, I'm sure Genoa kind of has the same feeling. They're probably circling this game against us and saying they have to win this game as well. So it'll be kind of a using an old championship wrestling term, loser leaves town match.
Well, brother, I always enjoy talking to you, and we'll talk next week about hopefully a Panther win.
I hope so, Tony. Hey, appreciate you, and go Panthers.
Go Panthers.
Yes, sir.
All right. And I want to give a massive, massive shout out to our brand new title sponsor for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, helping us in so many different ways by sponsoring us. It is Pilgrim's Pride. And, hey, man, you can go to jobs.pilgrims.com if you want to learn more about what it's like working for Pilgrims. But we've talked about it a lot on this podcast. A lot of their areas overlap with ours, and they employ the community. They're a lifeline here, and it's not just working in the actual plants. It could be you're a poultry farmer and you are raising chickens for Pilgrims. You're driving the trucks. You're doing there. It's so many different things, so many different jobs for you out there. Plus, we get to all go to the store and enjoy great chicken from them as well. So their mark is everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, you don't even have to do that. If you're eating chicken somewhere at a donation, Pilgrims probably donated that, and a lot of times cooked it.
True.
Their employees cooked it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very involved in the community, you know, in all the communities. And, you know, you talk about there are so many different people that are associated with Pilgrims and with the chicken industry, mm-hmm. doing different things that, you know, they employ and they benefit so many areas of our local community. They've got a hatchery,
yep.
over in Nashville. They've got a feed mill north of Nashville.
Right.
They've got this plant in DeQuain, which is one of their biggest plants and one of their most productive plants.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely amazing. Listen to this kind of list of jobs, and there's so much more than this, too. But you can hop, if you want to join the Pilgrims team, you can find jobs in accounting and finance and administration, animal welfare, building and grounds, business and operations, culinary, customer service, driving, engineering, environmental health and safety, fabrication operations. You can join hourly productions, hourly maintenance, hourly sanitations. Human resources they hire for, internships they have, talent programs, finance and fabrication operations. It's endless, the amount of that. Sales and marketing, I mean, research and development. There's a place for everybody to work at Pilgrim. So maybe you're not on the production floor. Maybe you're not that kind. You want to be in the office. Maybe you want to be driving the truck. Maybe you want to be doing sales. All of it is available to
Security
you.
Security guard.
Security guard, that's right.
Yeah.
There's literally no stone unturned when it comes to working with Pilgrims. So, and the greatest part about it is their benefits, let's be honest. You can learn so much more about Better Futures, their free community college program we talked about a couple episodes ago. Their insurance, comprehensive medical plans for the care you need. Growth. No better company to take ownership of your own career growth than Pilgrim's Pride. Learning, take advantage of more than 2,000 courses in their development program. This is not like one of those businesses where they're going to hold you down. They want you to stay in down. They encourage it. Move on up in the company. 401ks, paid holidays and time off, and so much more. The benefits at Pilgrim's are absolutely amazing. So, you know, I know you can drop a application by. They have an office for that, and then also you can just go online at jobs.pilgrims.com.
Yeah, they're looking for you today.
That's right. If you think you can join their team and be an asset to one of a thriving company here in Southwest Arkansas, join Pilgrim's Pride today. All right, it's time for my favorite part of the show, except for when Greg isn't listening. That's my favorite part of the show. It's the awards segment of the show.
And we're going to go one by one till we get them all done.
That's right.
And the first one we're going to do is the Shelter Insurance Woods Agency, Inc. Leopard Player of the Week.
Senior fullback Rylan Pickett, 4 touchdowns on the night against Hope.
All right. And the Dom Tar Ashdown Panther Player of the Week?
Bryson French, 80 yards receiving on 6 catches and an 80-yard kick return for a touchdown.
The Horatio State Bank Horatio Line Player of the Week?
Guard Salvador Alderman had an outstanding game for the Lions this week.
And the Horatio State Bank Foreman Gator Player of the Week.
Lawson Mears He had four tackles, two passes defended, and a fumble recovery.
The Loveless Refrigeration Nashville Scrapper Player of the Week.
Abari Williams, 10 tackles, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, two tackles for loss, and two sacks in the big win over Arkadelphia.
And then the Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Dirks Outlaw Player are Players of the Week.
We're going with the whole receiving core for the Outlaws in their big win.
Union Bank of Mena Bearcat Player of the Week.
Jimmy Glenn, 10 tackles, a forced fumble, and a tackle for loss.
And the Union Bank of Mena Costot River Eagle Player of the Week.
Junior Eagle Tanner Trahan was an animal last night.
All right. And now we're moving on to the area awards. The Toad Thumper Lures Offensive Player of the Area is going to be
Peyton Beckman. Somewhere between 15 and 17 for 27, 367 yards, and seven touchdowns.
School record.
Yes.
All right. The Horatio State Bank Defensive Player of the Year is going to be?
Ryder House, 22 tackles and a fumble recovery versus Pottsville.
The overall Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Area this week, and that's sponsored by Mud Creek Designs, is going to be?
Josh Walker, five tackles, two interceptions, one return for a touchdown in a time where Nashville really needed their defense to play well to beat Arkadelphia. They did play well, and he's going to be our player of the area.
All right. One more thing to do before we stop the awards. We got to mention the DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week.
That's going to be Foreman at Murfreesboro, and that should be a good one. If you want to go out and watch a competitive football game Friday night, I drive to Murfreesboro.
It's at Foreman, I think.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
Drive to either.
Huh? Yeah, drive don't drive to Murfreesboro.
You
might
be
disappointed.
Where's the game at? Tony told me.
send your emails to Jeff Tuttle. You're right. Foreman is hosting Murfreesboro.
All right, and I think that wraps up all of the high school talk, but we have kind of the national segment we want to get to, which has a brand new sponsor that we're very excited for, and that is Mena Pre-Owned, and they are located at 3001 Highway 71 in Mena. Give them a call at 870-848-0796, and they also have a Facebook page, Mena-APO. Come see us at Mena Pre-Owned. We're here and ready to approve you and sell you your dream car.
And the national news, nothing really to talk about, is there?
Well, this would be a good time to mention that we got to interview Otis Kirk yesterday.
Yeah.
And if you're a Hog fan and you want to know what's going up there with the coaching search, with the NIL, with just about anything Arkansas, that'll be a special episode, and you need to hear that.
So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's interested in the coaching search right now.
Mm-hmm. Well. You know, something Otis pointed out yesterday that I had not thought about, this coaching search could go very different directions depending on whether Juracek gets to make the hire or not and whether Juracek's still the AD.
Yeah.
And that's something I had not thought about.
That'll depend on whether or not Petrino fires him.
Well, it didn't take him long to fire three people.
Which needed to be done.
Yeah. I think one of the things before we leave, Sam Pittman, great guy.
Absolutely.
He was a great guy. He came in here, and I'm going to say when no one else wanted the job.
Yeah, he was probably their fourth or fifth choice.
Yeah, took the job, did a admirable job for the most part, took us to what, two or three bowl games in 6 years, right? Which I know nobody's satisfied unless you're playing for the national championship, but
it leaves 128 teams disappointed at the end of the year.
That's right. That's right. But just want to say, he's a great guy, and sometimes things happen and something's got to change.
He's got him a place at Hot Springs that he says he'll be happy to go to and hang out, and as he said, have a cold beer.
Yeah.
I'll also mention, just a little shameless plug, he owns a restaurant in Hot Springs with a former Derek's Outlaw. So
What's the name of that restaurant? You don't know?
Sounds good to me.
I think that's a great name for a restaurant.
I do not know the name of it.
Okay.
I'll try to do you know that
the
by next
do you know the former Dirk Salar, or are you just making that up?
I do know him.
Okay. Mm.
Do you want me to mention him?
I don't care.
He may not want to be mentioned.
Okay, he may not. So
I felt bad for Sam Pittman. Why did the police have to escort him off the field like that?
They do that every game. That didn't have anything to do with it, although they may have been a little closer to him.
Yeah.
After that. Of course, there was nobody there with Notre Dame fans
at the end.
That's right. And they were clapping for him.
They could use all of the police.
I would say, Greg, 20% of the crowd Irish?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
They could use all the police to escort him off the field because they weren't having to flag traffic after the game.
No. No, it was already all gone. Yeah.
We had no trouble getting out of there longer
probably than most people. And we left at pretty much
beginning of the third quarter.
Yeah, beginning of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And there was probably there weren't 50% of seats filled. I'd say probably 25.
Yeah. And then of that 25%, probably 60% of those was Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I told Greg before we started recording this that that's the first game I can remember, Razorback game, I can remember not finishing. I turned it off third quarter.
Yeah. Well,
we didn't have that option.
Worst loss. Yeah, we did because we turned it off. We left. But we did the same thing. But worst loss I've ever been to by the Razorbacks. They just were not. And that's what happened. You know, if Pittman would have, you know, if they would have, let's just say, with 2 minutes to go in the first half, it was 28-13. If that would have been the final score, we wouldn't be talking about Pittman today.
No.
It was the way they got beat and the lack of effort on both offensive and defensive teams.
Arkansas looked like they didn't want to be there, and Notre Dame looked like they had something to prove.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it was.
Mm. Yeah.
You fake a punt when you're up two or three touchdowns in the second half, you know.
But
way deep in your own territory.
Well, and that's what I'm going to tell you. That was Bush League. You know, I don't care. They may win the national championship. They're still Bush League. You don't do it. I mean, when you're up like they were and you got a team beat, why you do that?
Yeah.
The only reason you do that is to show them up.
Yeah.
And that's not what football's about to me.
It's not a good way to get invited back.
No. No. I don't
know. Well, we've got to make a return trip out there.
Yeah, we got to go over there next year.
I know.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
I will say that. And I appreciate Greg and Gary Stewart of Guy at Church. It's because of them that I got to go. I get to see Notre Dame with your own eyes. And those helmets, man, it was so sunny in Fayetteville that day. Those gold helmets were just glistening. And they may have been part of the Razorbacks problem. I'm not sure. But that was awesome to see.
They paint them before every game, don't they?
Yeah. And apparently they polish them, too, because they were –
Yeah,
it was
something to see. I still wanted to get that leprechaun, but I never did see him.
Mm. He was down on the other end.
Yeah, I know he wouldn't come down there where I was. Oh man! But anyway, any thoughts on who the new coach is going to be?
Oh, I know. I can only say who, if I was the AD, which I won't be, I would be going for a young up-and-comer Memphis coach, maybe. That's probably realistic. I know some people have mentioned the SMU coach, and maybe that's not as realistic. But what I would be against if I was an Arkansas fan is a retread. I don't want a retread. I don't want a Mike Gundy. I don't, you know, I don't even, I'm not even sure I want Nick Saban, you know.
You don't have to worry about that.
That's why I figured that.
Well, I mean, that would be a case where you only had him for a couple of years, two or three years. I mean.
Well, and that's probably the case. I think Bobby Petrino's probably got a leg up on anybody now.
Well, I think it's how they play the rest of the way.
Yeah.
If they go out and continue to play the way they played Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But if they, you know, but I, you know, it's not going to be John Gruden, folks.
Ed Orgeron.
No.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Well, I, for the
he's
for,
already
before my Arkansas fans, I dearly love. I hope it's not those guys because you're going to be severely disappointed. They're going to get a big check. They're going to be 2 and 3 years. Say thank you very much. They're going to be out the door, and you're going to be in the same situation you are right now.
Mm-hmm. Ed Orgeron's already on campus. I mean, he's dating one of the sorority girls, but he's on campus.
We should get Bill Belichick. He'll be all right.
Yeah, he's doing well in North Carolina.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to fire him.
Yeah.
Well, but that's, I mean, that's an argument not to go the route that some people are talking. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got maybe the best coach in NFL history.
Yeah.
And he's at North Carolina, and he can't beat Wake Forest.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But the SMU coach, you know, that theory, Rhett Lashley, Arkansas native at one time, probably held every passing record in Arkansas. We're not going to be able to give him the financial.
Nope.
No, he's going to just want to have to come.
The NIL money is in Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have to want to come home and prove he can do it. And I've heard people talk about Gus Malzahn. We got to give that dream up.
I would consider that a retread as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't want him. He didn't want us.
Yeah.
Why should we want him right now?
Unless he wants us. Then
I think probably the next Arkansas coach is going to be the Memphis coach or somebody that's not even on the radar yet.
Well, and one of the things I think when some of these places that we talk about, and I'll use Memphis as an example, SMU's another really good example of NIL and the transfer portal have changed those programs.
Yeah.
Where, my understanding anyway, Rhett Lashley's making $9 million a year at SMU, and they've got more NIL money than any other college in the nation.
Yeah.
And so do you want to leave that and come to a place where you're going to be, if you're in the middle of the pack in the SEC, that's going to be considered good.
Right. But he could drive to his grandma's for Sunday brunch every weekend.
Biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, you're right. But you know, and the same thing's true with Memphis. You know, because, well, I mean, it's not as true, but Memphis has they got FedEx supporting their NIL.
Yeah.
And that NIL stuff from FedEx, you know, is
FedEx,
it's changed that Memphis team.
It's not a poor company.
No. And so when you start looking at these, you think, okay, let's just say one of the coaches, and I don't know his name, the UT San Antonio coach, you know, they talk about him. They may have a lot of money down there.
He's the one that was an assistant at Arkansas at one time.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah,
I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, you know, they're going to look at a situation where, I mean, the reality of it is, and if you can tell me I'm wrong, but the reality of it is 5-6 years, you're going to be looking for another job.
You're wrong.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Listen, I think, and talking about not being able to think of a coach's name, you kind of seen this coming last year. I mean, like you say, Sam's a good guy. I think we should have made the move last year. Went hard to try to get Indiana's coach, and now he's probably
above our pay grade.
I mean, we had our shot and probably missed that. But we've done that before with other coaches.
But you know, he was at James Madison at one time, and you know that's the kind of coach I'm talking about. Yeah. Go to one of these G5 programs, find the up and comer, and you'll be taking a chance, but. If somebody took a chance, apparently Indiana did, on Cignetti, they'd have a really, really, really good coach right now.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I just think that – I think while we think of that job one way, I think the coaching fraternity thinks of it differently.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the problem's going to come in.
Yeah.
Because not only do you have to – you know, here's the deal, and I'll talk for myself – you know, the UT San Antonio coach, you know, his name's been brought up some. Well, that doesn't blow my skirt up.
No.
You know, and if you don't do that with the fans, you really have – you but even
you're
if
you're not going to get the money they need.
That's right. You're not going to get it. So you don't get the money, then you can't do the NIL.
Right.
And that affects the transfer portal. That affects all that stuff. So I just think that there's – you know – yes, sir. Jeff Traylor, okay. Thank you for that.
He used to be an assistant at Arkansas.
Yeah. And you know, and I'm not, it doesn't have anything to do with his coaching ability. It has to do with the fact that the wow factor. And that's where you come in, you know, like somebody mentioned Dan Mullen, you know, who coached at Mississippi State, did well, moved over to Florida, did okay, I guess, before, but he ended up getting fired.
So you need, you think there's somebody with a name needs to come in and swoop in and save, like not realistically, just to the fans, like for interest?
I think it's got to be, you got to be really careful.
Mm.
You know, you can't just go to, like I said, I'm using UT San Antonio, and that may not be a good example, but we didn't know his name.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, they always bring him up and Barry Lunny Jr.,
uh-huh.
who was on the coaching staff with Traylor. You know, and I hadn't heard his name. I'm not even sure.
I don't even know where
Barry
he
Lunny
is
Jr.,
now.
I believe, is with Bielema. I'm not positive on that, but I believe that's where he's at now.
So, I mean, lots to talk about. We'll be talking about this through the upcoming weeks because it's not going to happen next week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but one, they did put Bobby Petrino in as the interim head coach. His first thing was to fire the defensive coordinator and two defensive coaches, but he kept the secondary coach. And I'm going to tell you, Saturday, I have never seen more open receivers than I saw. You couldn't see it on TV. That guy was picking out which one he wanted to throw.
Which open receiver he wanted to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
And he had time to do it.
They were all open.
And eat a sandwich.
Yeah. and you know, so I don't know why you keep the secondary coach. I guess you got to keep somebody. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But anyway, like I said, will anybody want anything else? We got.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Okay. Sounds good to me. All right. So let's talk about the Steelers. Steelers 3-1. The only game they lost, I didn't think they should lose.
Yeah.
But they keep winning. Went over to Ireland and drank all the green beer up and
man, that place was rowdy.
It was.
I know it was supposed to be a neutral game. Nah. It was a Steeler home game.
Oh yeah.
Greg and I, huh?
They went to Ireland?
Yeah, played the Vikings.
They played the Vikings in Ireland Sunday morning. Yeah.
Is this a normal thing? Do they?
They do it all over the place.
Yeah.
Mexico City.
Yeah.
They went down to South America this year.
That's pretty cool.
Well, okay. we've talked about this before. Say what you want about the Steelers. Winners win and losers lose. And the Steelers have for the last 50, 55 years have been winners. They find ways to win these kind of ball games, and for the most part. And teams like the Bengals, the Browns, they find ways to lose these kind of ball games.
Yeah. Well, and you know, speaking of winners win and losers lose, Green Bay and Dallas played and didn't win or lose. They tied. and nobody's happy about that, are we?
No.
Yeah. But, watching the Dallas game and being a Dallas fan, I just felt like that they were – I think they may have realized something about the start of the second quarter. Because in the first quarter, I thought they were going to get mauled.
Yeah.
And so I think they changed. And I think, you know, every team – they kind of have to come up with that at some point in time, and I think that was a good thing for them. So, you got anything you want to say about that game?
No, but okay. I was going to say, kind of moving on.
Yeah.
We ready to move on?
I'm ready.
Sounds the Steelers good to me. Went to Ireland and won, but there was a couple of Irelanders came to America and won.
Yeah, that's
Ryder Cup. They came over and kicked some tail. They ended up being close, but – I love the Ryder Cup, Greg.
Yeah.
That's
me too. I watched it instead of football.
I did too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's one reason, is because the Cowboys were playing at night. But that helped. If they had been playing, I might have switched it back and forth.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I watched it. I watched it at work.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have a job anymore.
What I don't understand, it's almost like we're never ready to play. And I, you know, if why, and I don't know what it ended up. I mean, we were down like, what was it, 12-8?
May have been, was it 12-8?
I can't remember.
I think 12-4.
12-4, right? Okay, 12-4.
Yeah, because there had been 8 matches the first day and 8 the second day.
Okay.
And how'd my boy Shifley do?
He Shifley? Did not do great.
Oh, no.
Did he go 0-4 or 1-3?
No, he won the
He won his last
singles, and that's what gets me. We do so well in the singles matches. If you and I are playing together, and we're both good golfers, shouldn't we be able to do as well doing that?
And I know a lot of people listening may not know how the Ryder Cup scoring goes. You know, if they won it last time, so they need 14 points to retain. U.S. needs 14 and a half to take it from them. It ended up 15-13. Yep. We made a valiant comeback in singles matches. But I thought it was going to come down to the fact that they had a player pull out with injury. And instead of winning that match with him pulling out, they had get a half a point each. And, we could have lost it on that. And I don't think that's a good rule. I think they need to change that. I like the feistiness of the Ryder Cup, too. The fans berate the bad guys. We'll get the same thing when it's in Europe in 2 years. But, they had to get cops out there to intervene with the fans. And
When you go to New York, that's what you're going to get. If you take Arkansas up there and play a New York team, you're going to get that.
I mean, did you watch it Saturday when Justin Rose got into it with DeChambeau's caddy? Did you see all that?
I didn't see it.
And then they nearly had a fist fight, like going to the next green, the players and the caddies. And this is great.
That's excellent.
Who goes to a golf match and a hockey game breaks out?
That's how you get me watching.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a great weekend to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But, in my opinion, and I wasn't there and didn't see it, but from what I read, they went a little too far. When you start hitting the wives in the head with beer bottles and stuff, that's a little too much.
Yeah.
Which is why they should just serve in aluminum cans.
That's right.
Like the classic bars I used to.
Yeah. Well, if you just open them up, then they can't throw them as well.
Yeah.
Because they don't want it to come out.
Yeah.
I bet you it was empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm sure whoever it was, I think the beers, that's one thing I did see. They said nobody was going to overindulge because the prices were like, I think a beer was $16.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I know we have a lot of people that might listen and are not into golf or the Ryder Cup, but 2 years from now, it's worth watching.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like the World Cup, like of golf or something? Like it's all teams by nationality?
The United States versus Europe.
Yeah.
Year, like in the odd year, they'll have the President's Cup, which is the United States versus
the rest of the world.
Not Europe. But, the Japanese players and South Americans and all them will be on there.
Yeah.
Cool.
But the thing about it is, for decades, America won this.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, the Europeans have won 11 out of the last 15.
Mm.
I think I said last week on the podcast, on paper, it looked like the Europeans would destroy us.
Yeah.
And for 2 days, that's what took place.
Yeah.
And then, they pair up in teams the first 2 days, play a match in the morning and the evening, 4 different sessions, and then on Sunday, everybody plays an individual match against somebody else.
Mm.
We made a run at them, but not quite enough.
Got too far behind.
Darn.
Anything else you want to talk about?
T-Mobile. Mm-hmm. Everybody get out and vote. Derek's Outlaws. Big things happening.
Yeah, and if you don't know where to go, go to the Southwest Arkansas Sports page on the Air Facebook page. It's on there. Just look for it, and it tells you what to do.
Might have a special guest on next week to talk about that with y'all.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Well, we appreciate everybody for listening, and we appreciate all our sponsors. We couldn't do it without them, but most of all, we appreciate the kids. That's who we're doing it for. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.